It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Atamarie, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, we even got a little bit of rain last night, which was nice for the pasture. Things are getting back to normal in the city. More people are around. Unfortunately, the motorways are becoming congested again, which is all the more reason why we've got to get public transport back up to where we were pre-COVID.
Mm. Well, let's start with something that's tangentially related to that. Yesterday, we saw the government announce their emissions reductions targets. It's been met with mixed, views on it. There's a lot of support for farming, but we're also seeing some implications for cities like us here in Tāmaki Makaurau. It's going to be a massive challenge getting emissions reduction down, particularly for us with the way our city's laid out, the way we use transport here. What aspects of the emissions plan do you think are going to make the biggest difference for Auckland?
Well, we're very focused on transport, of course. 17% of carbon emissions across the country come from transport, but in Auckland it's 43%. So that's what our climate action plan and the targeted rate are focused on in Auckland. So we were looking very, very closely at the budget to see what aspects, or this aspect of the budget that was released, to find what aspects might help Auckland. And there's quite a lot there. Look, there's some general stuff about, you know, clean car upgrade and helping lower income people get rid of their old clunkers and move into electric cars, and that's fine. Doesn't affect council so much. The things that affect council, there's $350 million there to fund transport choices, and this could well be something, because we've got our plans already set out in the climate action plan and the climate action targeted rate, and we're willing to co-fund. We've had a very clear signal from the Minister of Transport and his office that gives us puts us in a very strong position to get some co-funding from government, and you know, in our challenging financial times, that's welcome. So that'll help cycling and walking, but it will also help, hopefully, our very extensive bus upgrade program. Secondly, there's help for providing sustainable skilled workforce of bus drivers, and that's really important. Bus driving's traditionally been underpaid, and we're short of bus drivers, so that will certainly help in terms of being able to lift pay and improve conditions. And you know, there's a bit of money there, not a huge amount of money, but to help decarbonise the public transport bus fleet, and we've started on that, and of course we're working on the ferries. So from our point of view, it's pretty good. The overall point of view, it's really interesting. Lobby groups say not far enough, and you expect that because that's their job. They always want to push the government to go further. Some of the vested interest groups, I heard a grouchy farmer on the radio this morning saying, we don't want to pay anything. Well, the vested interest groups can't continue to protect their vested interest, and the lobbyists will always be asking more than the government can deliver. But I agree with Simon Wilson, this is a massive step, but it's still not enough. It's something to build on.
What about congestion charging here in Tāmaki? Would we see that up and running in 2 years, do you think?
I think you'll see that by 2025, and that will coincide with the opening of our new City Rail Link loop, which will double the capacity of heavy rail. It will also come in, you know, now that we've further extended the Northern Busway, we're working on the Eastern Busway. I'm in favour of a congestion charge, but a conditional support for it. There needs to be alternative transport options available to people, so you're not just punishing people, and you need to look at some of those equity conditions. And obviously, as the congestion charge is phased in, the regional fuel tax will be phased out, so you're not getting that double whammy.
Well, let's talk about Puckety Beach. This one's been really interesting. We've seen the council reject a bid for the McCallum Brothers, which is a construction company that has been historically mining sand from Puckety Beach to use for concreting and other things. That's been rejected now, and this is quite an interesting one. It's been seen as a win for the environmentalist and the iwi groups who have been lobbying against this for quite some time. Are we going to see the impacts of this in other resource consent conversations around the city, do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first point to make is that the decision to reject the consent application was made by independent planning commissioners. Now, they're appointed by council, but they are independent. So, you know, I noticed that the developers who are complaining are blaming council, but we deliberately set these people up to make an independent assessment on the facts of the case and the evidence presented to them. And the bid... The McCullum brothers, who are looking for the sand, have got three consent applications, and two are still sought to be heard. But this was the big one. This was asking for 2 million cubic metres of sand. And what the hearing commissioners found was that they didn't sufficiently take into account the mana whenua values and tikanga. With respect to the coastal effects, there wasn't enough information to conclude that sand distraction was not causing sand erosion along the beach, and they recommended a precautionary approach. And again, there wasn't enough evidence around ecological effects, and again recommended a precautionary approach. And on the economic effects, because you've got to look at that side as well, what does this mean for the construction industry in New Zealand? Will this massively increase prices like the industry is saying? They said they weren't provided with enough conclusive evidence as to whether the cost of the alternatives to Pākehi would be more or less expensive than sourcing or transporting sand from Pākehi. So if I take the view of the independent hearing commissioners, they felt that the application was simply not strong enough to justify the big amount of sand extract that was occurring. But this is still open to appeal, and McCullum Brothers may well appeal to the Environment Court, which would make the final decision. Again, on all the evidence, and people who have made submissions would be able to be heard again before the Environment Court. So that's basically where that's at.
It'll be interesting to follow that one. We'll keep an eye on it. I wanted to talk a wee bit before we let you go about Auckland Council's regional parks, because there's been big discussions about how the management of that is going, whether it needs to change. There's a big, submissions process open at the moment. Where are we at with this conversation?
Yeah, well, the draft regional management plan is designed to set a vision for our 28 regional parks. And, you know, this is 41,000 hectares of lovely land. And, you know, basically, what I'm committed to doing, and I'm on record of this, is saying there's no proposal to cede ownership or management of the regional parks to anybody else, and I would absolutely oppose ceding ownership or management of the parks. The parks are owned by Aucklanders. They're held in trust for future generations. They really are our taonga, and they will be protected. But there may be some value in ensuring consistency with the way that regional parks that are on the edge of the Hauraki Gulf can be managed along with the management of the Gulf itself. And that led to a whole lot of speculation, which has been absolutely rejected by council officials and by those working in the area, that somehow we were going to cede management and ownership of the parks. That won't happen, but we will look at how we can work collaboratively with the Maritime Park Forum, which is just an advisory body, and we're looking at how we can work more closely, obviously, with mana whenua, but also with volunteers, philanthropists and corporates, because we know that what's happening in the Hauraki Gulf is that it's continuing to degrade, and we need some very strong changes to help protect the Gulf again for future generations. So protect the land, but protect the sea as well.
How does partnership with mana whenua come into the conversation at the moment? I know we're going through this process right now of re-evaluating how these relationships go, but at the moment, how much conversation is there between the council and mana whenua when it comes to these resources and these amazing taonga, as you say?
Yeah, well, there's quite extensive cooperation and consultation, because many of these regional park sites were also sites of historic and cultural interest to mana whenua, so that when you develop a regional park, it's really good to acknowledge the history and the legacy and the sacred sites that exist within those regional parks. So, like most things, it makes sense to work in a cooperative relationship, and, you know, I think everybody's after the same ends, and securing those ends are really important. So respect for iwi and acknowledgement that these parks, of course, are open to all, they're for all Aucklanders, and they'll be managed and owned on behalf of Aucklanders so that we can secure and improve the environment in those areas and the recreational use for future generations of our people.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. Hope you have a nice rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Look forward to it. Mā te wā.
Mā te wā.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.